Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And on this week's episode, we are escaping back in time.
Back in time.
We are time traveling back to where you could once escape to the magic. Let's call it escaping to yesteryear. Days of yore.
Yeah. So basically, tonight we're talking about the things we miss the most about Disney. So things in the parks that we used to be able to do. Probably keeping it to what? The past 5 to 7 years?
I think things that we remember.
Yeah.
I think you could probably talk to Disney historians and Disney fanatics. And we consider ourselves fairly, I mean, we're Disney fanatics, right?
Fanatics, yes.
Fanatics.
Historians?
But, no, we're not historians. No. But I think we could go back, 5 to 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
And really have a good grasp of what, you know, I think just things personally that we remember that are no longer there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That make us sad.
Yeah.
That they're not there anymore.
That's right. Yeah, we just were thinking, I'm like, man, I miss these, or man, I miss that. And so we got to talking on our own, and we're like, man, this would make a great episode. We should talk about this. And so we just decided to sit down and record. Maybe this will be more of a casual conversation and just, you know, like you say, reaching back in down memory lane and seeing what we come up with.
Because I think we all do it from time to time. We think about those attractions or shows or things at Disney that have been taken away for whatever reason. And, you know, Walt himself was a visionary, and he never liked to dwell on the past. So, you know, Disney's mantra forever has been progression. You know, we're not going to have a ride or an attraction or a show stick around forever and ever and ever just because it's popular.
Yeah.
You know, we do need to evolve over time, which is why you see a lot of these old attractions just poof, they're just gone, you know. And and we've talked about doing an episode where we talk about some of the attractions that have stood the test of time that were or still are original to the park, and we'll get into that one day.
Yeah, and I think from a nostalgic standpoint, a lot of people have a hard time seeing the parks change and evolve and letting go of certain rides and certain attractions, which we'll get into. And I think it makes sense, right? I mean, you rode on that as a kid, or you rode on that with a parent or a child, and so it brings back these like little nuggets and core memories, which we've talked about before, and there's an emotional connection there that wants us to continue to feel that every time we go. And so when these attractions or shows or rides go away, then we feel like part of that park is missing. And so it's like an empty space in your Disney heart where you don't get to get to experience that anymore.
So let me ask you before we get going, is there on your list tonight, is there an attraction or show that has, because it's not there anymore, there is a void in your heart that has not been filled with either its replacement or something else?
So, spoiler alert, I do not have one attraction or one show on my list. Yeah.
So, okay, this is going to be a good combination because I have mostly attractions.
Okay.
You know, and there's actually one or two things that are not attractions, but attraction-like. So, you're going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
We have not actually discussed each other's list.
Yeah, no,
prior
no.
to tonight. So this is going to be a fun discussion. So, well, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so I'll kick it off. Mine is the first one I had on my list that just jumped right off, you know, the page at me was the Magical Express and then the yellow luggage tags. I don't know what
else
to call them.
You're missing the convenience of the Magical Express.
Yeah. So kind of going back again down memory lane, we started going in like 2014, 2015 to the parks. And back in those days, if you stayed on site, you would be able to take a bus system that ran from MCO, the Orlando Airport, to Disney. It's called Magical Express. I'm explaining all this because for someone who just started going to Disney, they may not even know that the Magical Express existed. But it was Disney's bus system that would, you know, take you from the airport to the hotels, right? To the parks. And what was so amazing about this is about a week before your trip would start, Disney would also mail you, like in addition to like your magic bands and your tickets and all of these things, as part of that packet that you would get, there would be these little yellow luggage tags that you would put on all your luggage. And I am telling you, it was the greatest idea that Disney had, in my opinion, for what I call the pack mule dad. And so what that is like, you know, every dad that has a family that he's carrying 16 suitcases through the airport, trying to keep in all together and, you know, moving your family through the airport as logistically as possible, it's just a nightmare. And so what Disney would do is you would put these yellow tags on your suitcases in addition to your regular luggage identification tags. And what would happen is no matter where you're checking in at your home airport, so for us it would be Houston, so I check in at Houston, and what would happen is these suitcases would go and they would obviously follow you to the Orlando airport. But then once you land at Orlando, you do not go to baggage claim. You would just get off the plane, get organized, you know, use the restroom or whatever you do when you get off the plane, and then you would head down to the Magical Express area and you would not touch your luggage at all. What would happen is the Disney fairies and pixie dust would go and get your luggage for you off of baggage claim. It would be identified, and I'm sure they had some sort of an arrangement worked out with the Orlando airport, but your luggage would just magically show up in your room as you get to the resort. You never touched it. It was so amazing. And then on your trip home, it would be just the opposite. You would take your luggage down from your hotel room to bellhop or guest services or whatever. The yellow tags would be on it. You would check it in at the resort, like not even at the airport, at the resort, get back on the Magical Express, go out to Orlando Airport, never touch your luggage. And then your luggage would be back at home with you in Houston when you got off the plane. It was so wonderful. Like, I can't even describe how wonderful it was.
Well, it really was like an upper level concierge service that Disney provided.
And it was free.
And it was free. And they would, you know, basically they were just extending that Disney bubble to the airport and back.
Absolutely.
Right? Or from the airport to the resort and then back to the airport. So you really were immersed in that Disney bubble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
as long as you could be.
For a lot of people, that was their, like, welcome to I'm on vacation moment, right? Like, okay, I'm on the Magical Express. The little TV comes on. The little bus driver's there that they put on the show for. And, like, I'm on it. I'm on vacation now. And I can just sit back and relax and enjoy the Disney experience. So that, I really, really miss that. As a early on dad going to the resorts, that was the best.
And it's been there's a replacement now, right?
That does,
but it's not free.
No, it's not free, and
it's not Disney.
It's not. It's a Disney contractor.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
all right. Okay, so my first one is, tell me if you guys ever did this. I'm sure you did. The Jedi training.
Oh my gosh, that's on my list.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was looking through my old photos. Listen, we live in an age of modern technology, which is phenomenal, right?
Right.
My phone has pictures on it from like 2012. I mean, it's just amazing. So looking back at some of my photos and some of my early videos was here I am finding these photos and videos of my kids, like when they're 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right.
Fighting Darth Vader, at this Jedi training. So Jedi training, in the original version, I don't know, it's like maybe 16 or 18 kids. You would go to Hollywood Studios and then you would run over to a place where you would sign up for this Jedi training. Yeah. And they would do probably 8 to 10 different sessions a day. It was a really popular thing to do, you know, for the kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they would do the training over by Star Tours. There was a stage, you know, and there probably would be at any given time 100 to 150 people watching.
Absolutely.
So, you know, parents of the kids that were participating, but also people that just wanted to see the funny humor. And because it was a lot of times those cast members that would participate and interact with the younglings were hilarious.
Yeah.
They were such good actors. So, and you would get to, you got to fight Darth Vader, you got to fight Darth Maul, and basically they would give these kids some Jedi training.
Yeah.
How to hold a lightsaber, how to fight, how to, you know, I don't know, yield a lightsaber, if that's the right,
right.
Terminology. But, and then they would go on stage one at a time and have the opportunity to fight Darth Vader, and they could use the Force, and then the MC or the commentator would, you know, get involved. And I just remember this one gal, she was just so hilarious, and I think she was one of the more popular gals there.
Yeah,
I mean, she's the only one that we have a video of, but she just was so good with the kids. And I think looking back and, you know, talking about escaping back to the magic, those are just some great, maybe a little more simple times.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I think just any of those little past events that you could do in the parks that were free, they were just little...
That's right. It was free, too.
Yeah, they were just little add-ons that Disney had in the parks, you know, that were just fun for kids to go and do these adventures and just be a part of the story again, right? Like that's, they were totally immersed. They'd give them little robes and little lightsabers in their hands. And it was great. It was a lot of fun.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And just to have the, well, at least at Disney Hollywood Studios, you would have the big, you know, at Walker, you know, Imperial Walker behind you in the background. So it just, again, you were more and more immersed into the story.
The whole scene, the state, it was, everything was set up so perfectly for this to happen. And, you know, I think that, you know, just it was one of those experiences that I'm glad that my kids got to do. And I don't ever recall there being a time when there was never an opportunity. Like, it seemed like it never booked up all the way.
Right.
Even though it seemed like, oh, there's 16 kids each session, we never had a problem not getting a spot.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they made it sound like, oh, if you don't get there right at, you know, 9 o'clock when the park's open, you weren't going to get in. But most of the time there was always opportunity to be able to do the Jedi training. So that's a good call. That was a great one.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Miss me some Jedi training.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So my next one, I'm going to save a couple for the end, but my next one is actually a food item.
Ooh.
And it's from Sleepy Hollow. So Sleepy Hollow actually just recently changed their menu item.
I think I know where you're going with this.
But this is actually a little bit before that. So this is the second change that got dropped. So this is an even further back memory, but it's the churro ice cream sandwich. Is that where you thought I was? You thought I was going with the Nutella waffle?
Yeah, well, I thought it could be either one.
Yeah.
Because the churro ice cream sandwich you turned me on to.
Oh, my
phenomenal.
Gosh.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah.
Why they took it away, we'll never know.
I would spend $20 on one right now. Like they were just so good. So to describe to you what this is obviously it's a churro, right? So they would take a churro and instead of like the long churro stick, they would turn it into a swirl. So it had like a, you know, cookie like shape to it. They would swirl it up, cook two sides of the churro, right? Get it in the cinnamon and sugar, and then put a big old scoop of vanilla ice cream in the middle of it while the churro was coming off of the grease, right? So it's hot, the ice cream is melting, it's like running down your arm, you get the mixture of the cinnamon and the sugar with the vanilla ice cream and the churro, you know, heat. It was just,
you know,
heaven. It was heaven.
One of these days we're gonna have video and people are gonna get to see Dak's facial expressions when he describes food items. Because the intensity of by which he just described the churro ice cream sandwich, it's almost like he's trying to will it back into existence.
It was so good. Oh my gosh. I loved it. I just remember so many times thinking, well, I'm gonna sit here in front of the castle. I'm going to wait for Happily Ever to start, and man, I'm getting me a churro ice cream sandwich, and I'm just going to be in my happy place for the next, you know, 45 minutes.
I love it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that You're right. And I don't remember when they took it away, but I
don't either.
I remember that the time that I wanted it and I went there and they didn't have it. I remember just being like really disappointed.
Yeah.
That they didn't have it. So
for sure. That's funny. All right. What you got?
So my second thing, I mean, this closed, I'm trying to think when this closed, 2015, I believe. So this was Disney's Animation Academy.
Oh, yes.
At Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
So this was a cool thing. We did it once because at the time they were offering it, they gave you a discount on your admission for that day.
Yeah.
Basically, it was, you know, the attraction itself is a drawing session with a Disney animator. But before that, they gave you a tour of kind of behind the scenes on how they make an animated feature. Wow. And it was about a 2.5 to 3 hour event.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went there with my oldest daughter at the time, and she must have been, I don't know, 10 or 11. And we had to get there like at 7 o'clock in the morning. So the park was empty except for those that were coming to do this animation class. And that was really cool in and of itself, just kind of being at the park really early. And they gave us a tour. They explained how they make animation movies, or animated movies, I should say. And we kind of got to walk behind. So back before Star Wars Launch Bay was Star Wars Launch Bay, there was this Animation Academy.
Right.
And they had some exhibits and some collectible items that you could take a tour of. But there was a tour guide, and they would just describe what we were doing. And then we got to have this session with a Disney animator. And it was phenomenal. Yeah. It was so much fun because we sat in this room, and the animator was at the front facing us, but he was drawing on, remember, like those, sketchboard, but back in, you know, elementary school, those, what were those things called? They would put the sheet on the screen. It would project up onto the wall. What was that called? You know what I'm talking about, though?
Like a projector, but that's not the word.
It's
for
not
it.
A projector, yeah, but it's something. Yeah. Anyway, for those of you who, you know, grew up in the 80s, you know, yeah. You know what we're talking about. It was amazing. And they closed it, like I said, I think 2015 was the last time they offered it, but because they, you know, they built that Star Wars launch bay to replace it. But that was just a fun experience. Now, that was not a free experience. That was a paid thing you had to do, but it wasn't like crazy expensive.
Yeah.
It was a really kind of an inexpensive add-on, plus they gave you a discount for your admission for that day. So it kind of was a wash, right?
Sure.
And just to kind of be there with my daughter and experience that together, that was a super fun experience.
Yeah. So pro tip, if you ever go out to Disneyland and in Disney California Adventure,
that's right,
you can still do, you know, the animation with a animator animation with an animator. And so it's a lot of fun. Not a tour or anything like that. You literally just go in and draw, and they show you how to draw Pluto or, you know, Goofy or whatever, right? But still get some of that feel and that experience to be able to draw with a real animator. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad they kept at least a version of it at Disneyland.
For sure. All right. So this next one might be a little bit of a cop out, but I'm just going to say the simplicity of going to Disney.
Oh.
So very different than probably an attraction or something that, you know, pulls on the heartstrings or anything like that. But man, I just miss sometimes how it just felt so easy to go to Disney, right? So I was even looking on some message boards, and I saw this being repeated again and again from, you know, we've talked about this in the past, from, you know, reservations that still exist out in California to virtual queues to, you know, planning your whole vacation out and how much work and effort it takes and understanding how, you know, everything from Genie Plus to Multipass to whatever works, you know, and whatever they have going on this week as far as how to get onto rides and experience it. It has just become a very involved and very complicated process to go to Disney. And so, you know, my thought process was, man, I just, sometimes I wish it was just a little bit simpler. You could just get tickets, go, you know, maybe even not have any sort of fast pass system. You just go and wait in lines for the rides you want to wait in, and just a simpler Disney time. I don't know.
You know, we really could go off on a tangent with that topic. Yeah. I feel that kind of parallels real life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, life would seem to be simpler
for sure.
Back in the day.
Yeah,
and even absolutely. With the advancement in technology that we get to participate and enjoy, quite frankly, it does seem like life has lost a little of that simplicity. And that, obviously, I agree with you 100%. I think Disney used to be a lot more simple.
Yeah, you didn't need to be on your phone all day. I think that was a big thing that I saw over and over again on some message boards was people were just feeling like, wow, like I don't want to be on my phone all day. I want to escape from my phone, right? I want to just be present in the parks and enjoying the rides and the attractions and all that.
I did watch a YouTube video today about, this guy was testing out the new Lightning Lane Premier Pass, the $400 Premier Pass that you can buy at Disney World. And one of the things he did mention was that it did make his day more simple because he did not have to look at his phone all day. He did not have to look at his phone to book a next Lightning Lane or to see what the next time frame was. He bought the pass and he was able just to enjoy because he knew that he could get to every attraction during the day.
Yeah,
and he
absolutely.
Wasn't bothered by all the other things that he used to have to be bothered by. So to your point, I think, now again, that does cost $400. So if you want to spend that kind of money to create a more simple trip, hey, more power to you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Okay. I'll see if you remember this. All right. The Sorcerer's Hat.
Oh, I do.
At Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was one of the iconic structures in all of Disney World. So they took it away, 2015, I think. But, the Sorcerer's Hat was this thematic icon that when you walked into Hollywood Studios, it was right in front of you.
Yeah.
Very picturesque, big old blue hat with stars and moons on it. And Mickey's white glove was kind of holding it up.
Yeah.
And just, it's based off, Sorcerer's Apprentice segment from Fantasia, the 1940s, version. Animated classic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that was there for 14 or 15 years. Now, this is one of those things that I do miss it, but I also don't miss it.
Sure.
Because when they removed it, that exposed the facade of another attraction that I'm going to get to later.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll save that one for later. But again, I just think, it was an icon.
Yeah.
No. It was an icon that really just screamed Disney.
For sure. For sure. I agree. I think it was one of those things that just was in your face from the moment you stepped into Hollywood Studios. And so I think for a lot of people that was a big iconic, marquee that stuck out in people's minds. Yeah. And my next one is actually right along those lines.
Ooh.
So my next one is the dream lights on the Cinderella's castle.
Man, they didn't come back again this year.
Yeah.
That's 2 years in a row.
So for those who don't know, the dream lights were, what would you call them? String LED lights.
Stringed LED lights.
Yeah. That would hang on the castle. The thing about it is that the lights during the day, you would not see them. They would not be a distraction from the castle. You could still see the castle pretty well with the whatever design of the string lights that they used. But then every night they would put on a castle lighting show where, at least when I was going and as far back as I can remember, Elsa and Anna would come out and Elsa would do a whole presentation.
It was so beautiful.
And light up the lights of the Dream Castle. And it just looked, if you don't know what it is, you need to Google right now. Hit the pause button. Google Disney World Castle or Cinderella Castle Dream Lights. It was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing and so beautiful. And it really helped bring that Christmas feel
100%
to the castle.
100%.
And just to Magic Kingdom and all that.
100%. And I don't... Again, this is where our fandom may hit a limit. Like, we don't know why they haven't brought him back.
Yeah.
I don't remember there being an announcement as to why they took him away and why they haven't been brought back. Because it's only been recent.
Yeah,
this is the second year that they have not had him. So, maybe when the third Frozen movie comes out, they'll bring him back.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that there's a cost problem there. I mean, you've already invested in the lights, and so...
Yeah, they're in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, they're just sitting there So I don't know.
Maybe one of the cutbacks was letting go of the people that would go to the warehouse and get the lights and wrench turn them on. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But that was absolutely awesome. Maybe a little honorable mention here was over at Hollywood Studios. They used to do something called the Osborne Lights. And that was where they would literally just completely decorate the streets of America. Ooh. And there was like, I can't remember what it was. I don't want to quote it because I'll misquote it and not say enough. Like literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of lights, you know, there in Hollywood Studios. And so, again, it was one of those magical Christmas moments. And when we were starting to first go to Disney World, I think this is why it's so nostalgic for me, is we would always go that first or second week of December. And so we would always see the Christmas lights. We would always see all of the Christmas decorations. Yeah. And so for whatever reason, when they take away any of these Christmas items that are normal in the parks, it just, it's like a knife to the heart because I just can't. It's like, oh, you're taking away one more core memory.
It's a knife to the heart and they're twisting.
Yeah.
And they're just twisting and twisting.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I've got two more. So kind of along that same theme, I'm going to say Wishes.
Oh, yeah.
So the castle show, the fireworks show before the current show of Happily Ever After. So kind of like along your, you know, to your point, when we first started going on a regular basis as a family, Wishes was the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you would still line up in front of the castle to get a good spot. And the music, there was just something about Wishes, you know, that in a little girl's voice, like it was just like it was so soft and subtle, yet so piercing to the heartstring, and the little light that would fly, little flare that would fly over the castle at that moment, like just a beautiful, beautiful show. And there were no castle projections at this time.
Right.
It just was music and fireworks.
Yeah.
And that was it. Again, one of these, am I sad that it's gone? Yes, because I love Wishes and there's that sentimental and emotional connection to Wishes. But I would not want to see it come back and replace Happily Ever After because there is more of a connection and there's more emotional, sentimental nostalgia there with what's happening at the castle now. But again, I think if we're talking about escaping back in time, escaping back to the magic, it's hard not to include Wishes as part of that.
For sure. That was the castle show when we first started to go. But I think it was on its last year. And so they actually did have a few castle projections there towards the end, but they were very rudimentary, right? It was like, you know, Jiminy Cricket and just like pencil drawings. And so it wasn't anywhere near, you know, what Happily Ever After can provide right now as far as projection mapping and all of the phenomenal view that you get with, you know, with Happily Ever After. So as much as I loved Wishes, it was, I agree with you, like to say I'm going to replace Wishes from Happily Ever After, I would not do that. Like no. Happily Ever After is just such a, well, I mean, the technology and everything like that is just so much better. So I would, loved it, would absolutely love to see it on like a, you know, a bring it back every once in a while type of show. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But
and again, so YouTube it. It's on YouTube.
Yeah,
just
for sure.
Take a night, turn the lights out, get your family, gather your family around, and just watch Wishes. It's awesome. Yeah, that was around for 14 years.
Wow,
Wishes.
I had no idea it was that long. Yeah,
had a good run
for sure. All right, so my last one, again, it's kind of like off the beaten path. It's not necessarily anything specific. You know, I think just kind of wrapping up my thoughts here, I think for everyone, you know, every single one of us can look back, and for everyone it may be something different. Maybe a smell, a sound, a Wishes, the show, right? It's just whatever it is that's tapping into, again, that memory and that nostalgic feeling that you have of being there with someone that you love or someone that was important to you, and it was a magical feeling or a magical moment that happened in that in that moment. And then all of a sudden now it's like, oh, well, you know, the Dumbo ride will always be special to me because I rode it with my grandma.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, whatever it is, right? And so I think for me right now in the life that I'm in, one of the things that I miss the most is seeing Disney for the first few years through my girl's eyes.
Oh, bro.
Like, there was something, like, that's what got me. That is what got me hooked on Disney. And you know, we still go, obviously, as a family, and it's different. We don't deal with strollers or tantrums or, you know, some, it was maybe still some tantrums for me. No, but it's different, right? It's different and it's fun. I don't want to make it sound like we don't have fun as a family when we go now.
It's different now.
It's just different now. We get to do more fun things and have a lot more freedom. They can go and do something. We can go and do something, right? And so there's give and take there. But I'm telling you, you know, if you're a mom and a dad right now and you have a little one and you're thinking to yourself, we'll just wait. We'll wait until they'll remember it. Like, I hear that a lot, right? It's like, well, I don't want to go. They'll never remember it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I am telling you, there is nothing more magical. Maybe Christmas, right? That's the only thing that I can compare it to, is when your kids are still young and Santa and all the magic that exists within Christmas. That's the only thing I can compare it to, is when your girls walk in and see a princess or something like that for the first time, and they're like, wow, that really is Belle. Like, yeah, that is Belle singing with us and dancing with us and in Tales with Enchanted Tales with Belle, or, you know, walking into the princess hall and seeing Cinderella or whoever. And them turning to you and looking at you and then turning back and looking at them and them realizing that's really them. That is Cinderella, right? There's just something special about it. And the only experience I think I can compare it to now when we go is going with someone for the first time.
Yeah.
So like when we went on our guys trip a few months ago, there was a lot of guys that maybe were experiencing things for the first time. Or even you going and experiencing one ride or an attraction for the first time and then seeing the excitement and the reaction that people get. But there's nothing like the first timer.
Yeah.
Because it's just so, I mean, it's a little bit of sensory overload, quite honestly, for a lot of people, and especially for children, right? But it's also so magical, right? Because they haven't figured out what the secret sauce is, right? Like, they're just seeing it for the first time, whatever it is. Like, I'm thinking of a million different things that happen with attractions, like Rise of the Resistance or Enchanted Tales with Bells when the mirror opens up. Yeah. Or, you know, they're mind blown, but they're also, I don't know, like mystified, right? Like, they're just like, it's like seeing a magic trick for the first time. You're like, whoa, how did that just happen? But there's something even more special about little kids, right?
Yeah.
And seeing them with their heroes or their princess or their Lightning McQueen or whatever, and it's just so real to them.
Yeah, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, when you talked about parents wanting to wait until their kids are older because, oh, our kids are not going to remember. You know, it's okay as a parent to say, you know what? I'm going to remember.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember the looks that my kids had. I'm going to remember the excitement on their faces. I'm going to have pictures of that. I'm going to have videos of that. I want that as a parent.
Yeah.
The kids, you're right, they're probably not going to remember at a certain age, but taking your little 3-year-old girl in her Belle or her Cinderella or her Elsa princess dress, mm-hmm, and then walking them hand in hand up to the princess. And
yeah.
Like, their eyes are big, you know, and you're just, as a dad, you're like, like, you just start, like, it's just magical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and they're probably not going to remember it, like you said, but I remember it. You remember it. The parent remembers it. Like,
absolutely.
You have to just forget about that. take your kids when they're young. And if you take them when they're under three, they're free. Like, yeah, you might as well just take them when they're young because they're going to be free.
For sure.
So, dude, that's a great one.
Yeah, just, again, just the excitement. Even if it's not, like, even them seeing Mickey in the parade, right? And they're just freaking out. Like, they're just losing their minds. They're seeing this character that they've only seen on TV to this point, and now he's or she is right in front of them. It's just... man, it's just so magical. That's the only word. Like, that is when you truly escape to the magic, because you're just so, you know, engulfed in it, and it becomes so real.
Yeah.
And like you said, as a parent, you're just like, your heart is melting because you're just like...
And dude, you're right. You only have so many years of that phase.
Oh, absolutely.
We're in the same phase. Our kids are older. It's different going to Disney now.
Yeah.
It is. It's in a lot, like you said, in a lot of ways, it's a lot easier.
Oh, for
sure. No strollers. You know, we've been there so many times that we don't stress about having to get everything done. But when you have those little kids, you still don't have the stress of trying to get everything done because you know you can because you have little kids. You're pushing a stroller around. They've got nap times. They've got tantrums. They've got feeding times. Like, you don't go to Disney saying, oh, we're going to bust through all 25 attractions today and hit all the shows with our little, you know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to go slow because of your kids. And again, that's one of the best times because it's just, you're creating those core memories at that age. So
yeah, for sure.
Fantastic, dude. Well, I got one more and I kind of teased it. We should have just ended with yours. I feel like that was awesome. The Great Movie Ride.
Yeah.
You know what? I just one of these attractions that I feel like what they replaced it with doesn't hold a candle to what the Great Movie Ride was. I'm a fan of old Hollywood. I'm a fan of classic movies. And that's what the Great Movie Ride was. It was this tram ride through old Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz, Casablanca, Indiana Jones. And it was a mixture of, you know, animatronics, a mixture of live action. It was just amazing. Just amazing. And you walk through, you know, the Chinese theater and there was a movie playing and, you know, just one of those things. I nothing against Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. It's fine. You know, it's an okay attraction. I wish they would have done at Disney World what they did at Disneyland was create a completely different queue.
Yeah.
They kept the same queue at Disney World. Like, you still walk through that old theater and I just walk through and I'm thinking, that's the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah.
That's where they would show classic movies on the screen. And now I have to go into this room where I would hop on this tram and go through this cinematic, you know, history tour. But no, I'm in the back of this train watching Goofy and Mickey and Minnie do their thing, which, again, nothing against that attraction. It's just not what the Great Movie Ride was to me.
No, I knew this was going to be on your list for sure, because... you know, it's one of those, if you had to bet $1 million on someone missing something about Disney, what would you, you know, who would you bet on? I would bet on you bringing up the Great Movie Ride, because I know it was special to you. Yeah, no, you're not alone. This is definitely one of those attractions where I wish Disney would have been a little bit more open to the idea of just creating its own
100%,
space, right? 100%. Like, let's not take away the Great Movie Ride. We got plenty of space in Hollywood Studios to be able to figure out where we want to put this attraction and do that, right? Like, there's so much space at Hollywood Studios to be able to just create another space for Mickey and Minnie's. I love Mickey and Minnie's. In my book, I would put it above average. It's certainly not my most favorite attraction.
It's a great attraction. But
I agree with you. I think the Great Movie Ride was one of those attractions that a lot of people loved and a lot of people felt that nostalgic feeling that we've been talking about, where you have connections there, right? Like, and it may not even be the connection to the ride as much as it is the connection to what you're seeing on the ride, right? You're seeing those old movies and you're feeling those old feelings of, you know, watching that movie again and the feelings that that movie brought you. And so it brings you there while you're on that attraction.
So it ran for almost 30 years.
Crazy.
It opened in 89 and closed in 2017. Crazy. It had 59 audio animatronics.
Wow.
I mean, it was, and here's the kicker. We've talked sometimes about ride capacity and crowd control. This was one of those attractions that it was a 22-minute ride. Like, you hopped on and you were in that attraction for 22 minutes. Like, it gobbled up some capacity.
Yeah.
Right? Mickey Minnie's is what, 3 to 4 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe 5 minutes. Yeah, maybe a little bit longer. But
I mean, to give you an idea, probably that was tied, I bet, for the Kilimanjaro Safaris as one of the longest rides. That's how long that is, right? Like, 22 minutes is a long time to be on an attraction. And, or, that's a wrong way to say it. It is a long time to be on an attraction, but if you're enjoying that attraction, then it's great, right? You're totally, you know, feel like your time is being used well. But from a park performance and capacity and, like you said, crowd control, super helpful to have a big group of people that are tied up in an attraction for a long time.
Yeah, because I think it could move about, I think there were like 70 people per
tram or whatever.
Per tram.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were moving, I don't know, 6 trams at a time. I don't know. It can move a lot of people.
Yeah.
So again, let's close up here. Okay. Let me ask you, of all the things we've talked about on the episode, if you could bring back one of them, what would you bring back?
Well, I mean, as much as I loved going with my girls, I would not bring that back.
Okay.
It's a great memory, but I want to keep it as a memory, right?
Yeah.
Because what I've done and I think what a lot of us do, right, is like you forget about the tantrums. You don't remember the tantrums or the you know, meltdowns or whatever. You only remember the good. And so I wouldn't want to go back to that because right now I only remember the good, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
When I look back, it's kind of like the old high school football guy, right? Like he only remembers the good of, you know, playing in high school. He doesn't remember all the hard practices and all that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So honestly, boy, it'd be hard not to bring back the churro ice cream sandwich. Maybe because
of
hungry.
All the things we've talked about, you go to the churro ice cream sandwich.
No. Okay, so in all seriousness, I think I would bring back the Magical Express.
Okay,
I would.
I know you're big on that.
I'm
you
big
about
on
that.
That
a lot. Yeah.
I mean, if you're staying on site, it was just such a huge benefit to staying on site. You didn't have to worry about getting an Uber or any of that. It was all taken care of. The only knock I will ever have on Magical Express is on your trip back from Disney World.
Well, you had to get up early.
You had to be picked up by Magical Express. I mean, some cases 3 hours, 4 hours before you were flight.
Oh, the one time I did it, it was 4:30 a.m. That was our pickup time.
Yeah. So if you have an early flight out of Orlando, you're hating life.
Yeah.
And so that's the one knock I would have on it is, you know, my old pro tip would have been Magical Express to the parks, Uber from the parks to the airport, right? Because it's just not worth it. But other than that, it was just so great. It was so great to just start your vacation off with a hassle-free ride to the Magic Kingdom or to your resort. And then what we would do is because our luggage was already in our rooms, we would just like literally get off the Magical Express and jump right onto a bus going to the parks. It was that nice.
Yeah, man, that's great. I think of all the things I talked about and we talked about, for me, it's going to be between the Great Movie Ride and Wishes. Mm. I like what you said about every now and then bringing Wishes back as kind of like a guest appearance. I think that'd be awesome. Obviously, the Great Movie Ride will live on in our memories.
Yeah.
You know? Dude, fun episode.
Yeah.
This was a great topic.
Yeah,
backwards or back to the magic, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I always like thinking back on, you know, past Disney trips. I think that's part of the fun, right? Is just reliving some of those trips and
100%.
Thinking about, you know, everything. The guys' trips, solo trips that you may have taken, you know, family trips, of course. Just always fun to think back on some of those. And like you said, going through your picture reel, man, it just brings back such great memories sometimes.
How many photos do you think you have of Disney?
I don't know.
Thousands.
Hundreds. Yeah, thousands maybe. I mean,
I'm just, in the thousands.
Yeah.
I know Randy was like in the 2000s.
For sure. Well, listen, tell us what is your favorite Disney memory and what would you bring back? Give us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts. So that's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We'd love to hear from you and hear what your favorite Disney memories are and what you'd bring back.
Yeah. And send the show to your friends. Just, you know, press the send button. Send your friends, family a link to the show. Have them listen. Until next time.
All right. Thanks, everyone.